Hey guys, it's me, the Hormone Monster. Welcome to the Frustrated Grad Podcast.
Hello everybody, I'm your host, Zach Hughes, the black dude with bad news.
Did you say you're the Hormone Monster?
Yeah, you would only know that reference if you've watched the new cartoon on Netflix created by Nick Kroll. It's called Big Mouth. It's a cartoon all about puberty. But anyway...
Very obscure.
Yeah. I'm going to welcome my co-host, writer, movie fan.
You don't have to welcome
me. Well, you're here. You may not be welcome, but you're here. Ladies and gentlemen, the guy, Tony Hoffman.
The man, the big dog.
Yeah.
In his yard.
Yeah. This is the Hoffman Empire. So what's going on, Tony?
The same old, same old. Lots of big video game week for me. I was able to get a SNES classic.
Yeah, I saw
on Friday, and I've been playing Super Mario World. I played it yesterday.
All right.
Unlike the first three Mario games for the NES, like this is one that I haven't played as often as those. Simply because, like, you know, you don't have like SNES like emulators like you do, or you don't have like it's not as available as the Mario games are, you know, on like different, you know, virtual consoles and what have you. So yeah, it's almost like playing a new game, sort of.
That's cool.
But it's all coming back to me. All the where things are and where to find the secrets.
That's cool. So now that you have the SNES Classic, did you ever get the regular NES Classic?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. So with those new consoles or new retro consoles, are the games like fit it to widescreens, or are they just like a square?
That's like one of the selling points of it, is that you can adjust the screen. It's 720 HDMI.
All right. So it takes up the whole screen now. So that's,
they look fantastic from like a visual standpoint on like HDTV.
That's cool.
Very cool. Yeah. I think we talked about this a little bit. Like the NES Classic is, you know, it's classic games and everything. But this one, the SNES, that's the one that I grew up with.
Yeah, I have way more stuff on there. Like if I looked at their list of games, they're like, yeah, I played all of these.
Exactly.
It's more in my wheelhouse, but I don't know if I have the patience. There's some of these people who've gone hunting for this that I've seen.
It was easier to get. I went to Target like about 7:45 in the morning on Friday, and it was a line of like maybe like 60 or 70 people, but we all got one. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty good.
Like I assume that Nintendo has learned their lesson after last year's debacle, where they underestimated their beloved product, their own fucking product.
Yeah, like they sold it based on like, hey, you know what people will love? This thing. It's like, you know what? We shouldn't make too many of them because people might not love it that much. It's like, well, which is it?
I read that like they assumed that the interest in it was going to be like, you know how they have like those Atari Flashback and Sega Flashback games and stuff. But I guess they assumed that it was going to be around sort of like the interest that people have in those, so they didn't make as much of them.
Yeah, but the thing is with those, they don't go away at all. Like, exactly. They're still, like, you just find them in Target whenever.
And, like, unlike Nintendo, like Sega, like, and Atari, they didn't make those. Those were made by, like a third-party company.
Retro, whatever. I forget the name of it. But it's the ones where you can, like, put multiple cartridges in for different systems. But, you know, people love Nintendo.
Hey, did you know that Mario was a... Like, you know, when Mario got on Yoshi, he rode him and enslaved him. He was punching him in the back of the head to make his tongue stick out. I didn't know that.
Oh, now that I think about the motion of like when he does it, that I do remember it looking like he was punching him. So that's
I think that like because I read the story about like some of the programmers, and they said that was originally the motion, but I think that they tried to clean it up a little by saying that he was pointing to spot for Yoshi to stick his tongue out, because when you look at like the little animated graphics and like the instruction manual, they show Mario pointing and like he's telling Yoshi where to stick his tongue out and stuff, but when you look at the little sprite of, you know, in the game,
yeah, he's got a balled up fist. That's why I mean, I guess he was just maybe in Japan or wherever else they call him Punch Man, because he, like, when he jumps up to hit the blocks, he's punching those actually. Because I thought he was hitting them with his head, but it turns out he's just punching them. And now he's punching Yoshi in the back of the head, so he's got some real punching issues.
Punching him in the back of the head, he's like sacrificing him when he's like making like jumps and stuff. Like,
yeah, it's like, you know what, Yoshi, we're going to have to separate right here, midair. I need a little bit more distance. Bye forever.
Either you or me.
Yeah. This time is going to be you. Mario's not a good guy. That's what we've learned here.
That's what we've learned today. I did not see the big movie Blade Runner 2049, simply because I've never seen the original Blade Runner, and I really have no interest in seeing the other film.
From what I'm hearing about it, I haven't watched too many trailers or anything for it, but it sounds interesting. I still don't really know what it's about, but I'm probably going to end up going to see it without seeing the original. But
no, we'll see. It looks interesting from a visual standpoint, but you know, if you're into that sort of like, you know, I guess I wouldn't say pretentious, but kind of like, you know, just that whole like, oh, the who are we as humans?
Yeah, it's kind of like a high concept action thriller type of movie. It seems like that's the type of thing they're going for.
Have you seen something today?
No, the stuff I'm hearing about this one makes me interested in checking it out, but I don't feel like it's necessarily a prerequisite for this movie. But I did watch something this week that, another remake, that was at theaters, and, I would be generous to call it mixed responses, but I watched Tom Cruise's The Mummy this week.
You finally saw it?
Yeah. So, I can't remember. Did you ever go see it yourself?
Fuck.
Okay. Because I heard just like what everybody else was saying about it. But you know what? I have a slight confession to make. No. Not quite. I thought it was fun, but I'll say that with the caveat of being like, I was watching it while I was working. So I wasn't complete attention to it. So any parts that people might have gotten bored through, I was probably like working on a spreadsheet at that time. But
did it have the problem of like, instead of actually being like its own movie, it was too busy setting up shit.
It definitely was a long stretch of that. They had their like hall of exposition, like, hey, here's the hand of the creature from the Black Lagoon. So I guess if you do ever see him, he's going to be minus one hand. But then there was the whole thing with Dr. Jekyll, a.k.a. Nick Fury. That stuff was dumb.
Nick Jekyll. Yeah.
I think if you separate all like the universe building stuff, it's kind of a fun like action adventure movie. And I did like,
but that's what the original Mummy's movies were with the Brendan Fraser. Why do we need to have this?
We didn't necessarily. Like, I look at this, if you take off the universe building stuff, it's just like freshening it up. It's like, why do we need another Spider-Man? Well, number one, they're gonna lose the rights or whatever. But it's just, I look at it like that. If they weren't trying to do all this extra stuff, which is probably never gonna happen anyway, but. like, so looking at just the movie on its own, I did like that, like how much of a dick that Tom Cruise's character was. Like, cause he, like, there's a moment where he's about to run away from the mummy, gets in this van, and he just drives off. This woman, she was like right at the door. She was running with him, and he just drives off away from her. And then he doesn't actually stop to, let her in. She just catches up with the car. So I like that. I like that how selfish he was until the end, because you know it's Hollywood. But
so who are you rooting for in the movie? Like I read when the movie came out that was one of the issues.
Yeah, there's nobody really to root for because everybody's kind of bad people. Even like the SHIELD organization, Prodigium, because like that's the funny thing about that is the reason that the same reason that people would say there's no like real protagonist, that everybody's kind of bad guys, is one of the things that I liked about it, actually. Because, okay, Cliff's Notes version, the mummy, the evil mummy's original plot was she was going to bring the god of death, Set, aka their version of the devil or whatever. She's going to bring him to life on Earth by possessing some human man with his soul or whatever. So she tries to do that in the beginning. They stop her and she gets mummified. So she breaks out. So SHIELD, in this, whatever they want to call it, their solution is like, oh, they messed up back in the day. We're going to let Set occupy your body, Tom Cruise, and we're just going to kill you. That's how we're going to solve the problem. And I like the idea that they were just like, but we're going to do what she wants, but we're going to kill you afterwards. And that cleans
out. I read that, like, in the end of the movie, he does that. He lets Set possess his body, and that's, like, the kicking off point of this whole...
Yeah, like, he becomes the mummy. Although, it's... That part, to me, wasn't really clear, because he stabs himself with the thing, the magic thing that does the thing, but I don't know if that actually made Set occupy his body, because, like, I guess he has power over life and death. So I guess he does have the soul of Set, but it wasn't like exactly how they thought it was going to work. I don't know. It was kind of weird. It wasn't explained well. But
I just realized we're spending minutes talking about a movie that came out last year that bombed horribly.
Yeah, but that's all I have to say about it. But as even with that, my confession being that I thought it was fun, I feel like it was a strong 2.75 out of 5 or a low 3, but a fun 3.
I'm glad that I didn't see it, because there will not be another entry into the Dark Universe.
Yeah, if you don't want to go to the movies, which you can't go to the movies and see it, then Go Movies is a good alternative.
I was gonna say, because like I think I saw it was like $9.99 on Blu-ray on like Amazon or something like that.
Yep, that's what I paid. Sure did. Anyway, moving on.
Did you? I saw Inhumans Friday.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. The weird thing about it is that it was canceled before it even debuted, and
I don't think that's not official. That was just some website that.
Okay, well, I hope
unconfirmed.
Hopefully it's not true, but it
wouldn't surprise me.
It kind of fit. It kind of fit with that story to me, the fact that they were like, you know what, we're actually going to premiere this on Friday, because if you know ABC, they move shows to Friday when they're ready to murder them. That's what they do. The sitcom Neighbors, that was the thing once upon a time. That's been a bad spot for ABC. So premiering it on a Friday makes that story seem real, but.
I mean, like nowadays with TV, I mean, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, nobody's watching it when it airs live anyway.
Yeah, exactly, because people aren't watching TV. I mean, regardless of what, like, there is no like prime time.
Yeah, must see TV
slot or anything like that. So, but Inhumans, like, it really doesn't matter what day of the week it's on, because it was pretty terrible. And it's kind of sad that all the critics are kind of right about.
I wanted them to be wrong. I haven't watched the premiere yet. I'm still interested, oddly enough, but, you know.
I was just interested to see just how crappy it was. And, yeah, it's just, it's like, bad, like royal intrigue at the beginning before they come to Earth. They were living on the moon in some invisible kingdom, then humans and so Medusa and her terrible hair.
So do they actually confirm the whole moon landing was a hoax? Because they would have run into their lost city if they actually landed on the moon.
No, but like the way it was set up, it was some sort of like cloaking device thing that covered it up or some shit. I was just entranced by the wonderful dialogue.
You're really selling it for me right now. So I'm trying to think. There was something else that premiered this week.
And The Gifted.
Gifted. I didn't watch that either.
I completely forgot.
Yeah, they like Fox is not really good about promoting shows. That's what I've noticed. Is that because I don't feel like they have. I mean, I guess maybe if you watch FX all the time, then there would be some secondary advertising, but I just don't see a lot of promotion for Fox shows most of the time. And Gifted was not one I had a lot of anticipation for to begin with, because it just seemed
really.
I mean, X-Men is sold on like the characters. It's not just about like, hey, also a hook to it is like, hey, here are all these cool characters who have all these cool powers, and they're freaks and outcasts, and the government hates them. But like, Gifted is sold just on that second point, like, hey, these are a bunch of freaks and outcasts, but there's no cool characters yet. Nobody has like flashy outfit or anything. I want to see
like a bunch of humans with mutants with cool characters that fight, you know, bad guys and go on missions.
You're not going to see that. You're just going to see them running away from regular ass humans who are shooting at them, probably.
Some puberty adolescent, like high school bullshit. That's what it sounds like.
And just like that, and there's also that other one. Was it Cloak and Dagger, which is on Freeform, formerly ABC Family? To me, those seem too similar for my liking. like here's a mutant love story or whatever the hell they're supposed to be. I feel like there was always these arguments about superhero fatigue whenever the movies would come out, but I feel like they're getting to that saturation point on TV before they or even getting to it in the movies. We're just this fall season is going to be like, okay, we're going to wring you dry and see how much enthusiasm you have left for these superheroes after this. Especially when you take into account all the people who also watch like all the DC superhero shows. That's going to get kind of worn out.
Hey, I saw that the Scarecrow is on Gotham this season. Did you see that?
No.
Have you given up on this?
You hear about this? I haven't given up. I'm just behind. Like I'm behind on a lot of shows now. Like shows that I actually really enjoy, like Preacher. The finale was like 2 or 3 weeks ago and I haven't caught up to that yet, but
I've watched none of season 2.
Season 2 is nuts. Like if you remotely enjoyed season 1, then season 2 is like so much better. It's like non-stop, nice. People selling a fraction of their soul for $100,000. There's that cowboy dude comes and just blows everyone's heads off. It's a lot
blood
of
blood and gore.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I'm trying to think. There was something else. We see Assface. We see what's going on with him in hell, and he makes friends with Hitler, and then
that seems appropriate.
Then very soon after, they're not friends anymore, and you don't, and you wouldn't believe which one of them is bullying the other. It's a very interesting season. This season, I hope they come back soon, because like I was lukewarm on it the first season, and I'm like, I've been fully into this season. Every episode is better than the last for me.
So much TV.
Yeah, we're at peak TV, and it's no sign of slowing down.
Stranger Things is coming back on the 27th.
I'm excited for that. That's the weird thing. It's like some shows, I was just like, I'm excited for them, but then I watched the first episode of the premiere. I'm like, okay, I can wait for that another week. But like Stranger Things, I know I'm just probably gonna watch it all in a weekend. It's just like that's just it's become a thing. Like that's the association I have with Netflix. So like, yes, again, another one and another one.
How many episodes was season one again? It didn't reach double digits, did it?
I'm not sure. I feel like it was like either 8 or 10, but let me check. Yeah, because I know it felt short to me.
I hope they stick to that number for season two.
Yeah.
Less is more, I think they said.
Yeah, because I feel like... I wish a lot of like actual cable shows would adopt that more often, because that's.
I wish
like,
network shows would adopt.
Oh, more absolutely! Often. Like, they do like 24 episodes. Like that's the difference.
Too much.
Yeah, that's the difference between Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter. Like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. had like 24, 26 episodes, and like okay, it was good at this point. And then you could stop watching.
Even like your favorite shows in your lifetime, you think about like even in like a full season, there's a good chunk of just like filler episodes. And
yeah, it's like oh, you know what, you could skip that one.
Yeah, like they should just have the model where they have a show run like you know maybe 13, 14 episodes, and then it goes away, and then you bring on a new show, 13, 14 episodes, and that's the end of your TV season.
That's the weird thing is that they plan them out like that, but it never really goes that way. Like, they have replacement shows that they pick up, and they usually cancel them very quickly. But they have shows to be like, okay, when this ends, or if this one gets canceled, then we'll swap it out for this one. But they don't ever really do that. They either go all in or all out. It's like, okay, we're going to cancel this one after the first episode, or we're going to let it run until nobody cares anymore.
Or what about the shows that, like, people like after they've aired them for, like, maybe a month, and then they go away for, like, a winter hiatus?
Oh, I hate that.
When it comes back, no one cares. People have forgotten about it.
Yeah, like, Fox and NBC, I feel like, are the worst culprits of that. Like, I'm trying to think, what was... I know Superstore, I think they had a long break, and then they came back... Like, after their first season, they came back with their Olympics episode, which was technically out of continuity because, like, I think, like, in the season one finale, like, everybody went on strike, and then they came back after a break.
And they're working again.
Yeah, and they were all doing, like, stuff relating to the Olympics. I'm like, wait, what happened? And then I looked online about it. It's like, oh, this is, I guess, technically. They said, you could just look at this as a standalone adventure out of continuity. I was like, wait, does this make sense? And then they went back to being on strike the next episode. I was like, all right, whatever.
I like Superstore. Yeah, it's funny. Superstore and The Good Place.
I love The Good Place. I've watched a premiere. I haven't watched the one from this week, but that show is like, if there were ever like shows, they're like, okay, they're sold based on their premise alone. And a lot of those fall flat. I feel like they hooked me with the premise and then they exceeded my expectations when I watched it.
I have to go back to season one because I haven't seen most of it.
Oh, that's there's it's fun. And there's a really fun twist.
Yeah, I already know.
Yeah, but just how that all plays out is funny. And, like, how everything's falling apart for the Ted Danson character. He's trying to torture these people unsuccessfully. But, yeah, I was looking up Stranger Things. It was 8 episodes. So, yeah, I know I felt like it wasn't enough. But, like, that's the way you want to feel.
If you haven't seen it, yeah, you can catch up on it quickly.
Yeah, less than 8 hours because they're not like an hour each, but it's a fun watch. There's a lot of stuff coming to Netflix in October because Stranger Things is at the end of the month, right?
Yeah, 27th.
Like, yeah,
so right, time for Halloween.
Right before Halloween. That's what everybody focuses on in October, and I don't appreciate that because October is my birthday.
Nobody cares about your birthday.
It's Zachtoberfest. They should care about it. It's a celebration.
Who the fuck is Zach?
He is the one. He is the chosen one. He's the black dude with bad news. Recognize. I'm combining Bad News Barrett and John Cena's gimmicks. I'm Zach Hughes. Recognize. But anyway,
I'm trying to see like what original content is coming to Netflix. Mostly just movies and like comedy specials. And
yeah, I wish there was a little more description, because what the hell is 88 minutes? Is it like a Netflix version of 60 minutes? Are they going to have, instead of Oprah Winfrey, who's joined 60 Minutes, they're going to have Hoda Kotb? I don't know.
I'm trying to think, was that a movie that came out?
88 Minutes? I know there's 48 hours, 127 hours.
Oh, that's,
I'm trying to think of minutes.
It's like some shitty movie. 88 is like some shitty movie with Al Pacino from 2008.
Oh. Well, hooray, it's on Netflix today. Can't wait to watch that.
I won't be watching.
Yeah, I'm trying to look for Clever highlights.
Clever Man Season 2?
Wait, Clever Man.
Clever Man, is that a cartoon for kids, I assume? Or?
Clever Man, I think that's, is that the one I'm thinking about? I think that's the one that's like created by Stan Lee or something. Or I might be thinking of something else. Clever Man. I believe that's some kind of Stanley thing. Or no, I'm thinking of Lucky Man. I think that's Stanley's thing. But I don't know what Clever Man is.
Mindhunter Season 1.
Yeah, I'm so excited for that. What is this stuff?
Super Monsters.
Okay.
Season
1. Oh, Don't Be a Menace to South Central.
I saw that.
Yeah, that's the
one.
I'm
like, hey, maybe I'll, I get bored and check it out.
Yeah, it's hilarious. His father is younger than him.
New Netflix special.
I wonder if he's going to talk about everything. Let me see. Eagle versus Shark. Don't know what that is. Eyes Wide Shut. Ghost Patrol.
Eyes Wide Shut. Hey, Judah Friedlander has a comedy special on the 28th.
He's the world champion. Did you know that?
I was going to say.
Yeah. Skimming through this. I'm not seeing like anything that's like jumping out. I guess it says when you do find a Netflix original, they let you know on this list. Netflix original in all caps. Okay, so I'm just going to look for that stuff. Rodney Carrington fans, get ready, because he's got some comedy coming for you on the
3rd. Some comedy?
I think he's a comedian.
Question mark?
I'm not.
Cars 3 is going to be on Netflix, or Cars... on Amazon, rather.
Okay, Cars 3. Has that one come out yet?
Yeah, that came out during the summer, right?
Oh, I totally missed it. Because I remember seeing all the trailers for it looking like an extra dark version of Cars, but I didn't realize it came out. They must have not made too much of an impact because it's like gone already. I totally missed it.
That's on Amazon, by the way, which I don't have, so.
I have it for, I have it for another 9 days. Actually, my Prime expires on my birthday. I gotta order everything I want for the year. Chris Brown fans, which I am not, then you can look forward to something called Welcome to My Life from him.
Some behind the scenes of this abusive fuck.
Yeah, like this is the real story behind when I beat up my girlfriend. There's nothing good coming out.
Girl Trip on October the 3rd on Amazon.
Amazon. Okay. Then I have to hurry up and watch that again so I can relive the joy of the Essence Festival. So I can feel like I was actually there. You almost feel like you can touch Maxwell's hand. There's nothing good coming out on my birthday, I've noticed. Like Skyjacker's Tale is, I don't know what that is. And Christina P Mother Inferior. I have no idea what that is, but whatever.
The Emoji Movie is available on October the 10th on Amazon.
Hooray for me. That's a hell of a way to spit my breath. I'm glad it's my prime is going to expire on that day, because keep that Emoji Movie far away from me. 1922, the new Stephen King property is coming to Netflix on October 20th. I saw a trailer for that this week. It looks pretty good, pretty creepy. The Day I Met El Chapo.
El Chapo.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like the highlight of October for me is going to be the 27th, Stranger Things. Yeah, because I'll explore further to see if anything else tickles my fancy or jumps out at me. But right now, it's all about Nick Kroll's Big Mouth. That cartoon is pretty raunchy. It's about puberty and see hairy phalluses and talking lady parts. It's very interesting.
Sounds very wacky.
Yeah. It's fun. If you're a fan of the Kroll Show, you'll notice a lot of voices on here, and the comedy is similar.
I found it kind of hit or miss.
The last season of Kroll Show, I felt like, was the best. Like, it started off kind of slow for me, but the last season made me wish they had another season, because he really hit his stride right at the very end.
It just seemed like whenever I would buy it on the old clicker, he would be like in drag, and I find that men in drag to be kind of lazy and funny.
I feel like they're I forget what the job was in that sketch. They were like PR people, but publicity. That was the sketch. Publicity. It was like our names. I thought that was funny. Especially the episode where Liz, one of the Liz's, reveals she's pregnant. Or also when her niece Denise visited. But, you know, it's not for everybody.
Her niece Denise.
Like, where's my niece Denise? Anyway.
You were mentioning that your Amazon Prime membership is going away.
Yeah.
Something else that's
my student membership.
In 2019 is the Wii Shop from Nintendo.
Will anyone notice is the question.
Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, people are still playing a Wii.
You gotta hurry up and use those Wii points.
Yeah, sorry to see it go, but I wouldn't have known otherwise. I mean, so is that the same shop that's connected to the Wii U? Are those people also gonna be cut off?
Let's see here. It says Nintendo will shut down the Wii Shop channel on January 30th, 2019, marking the end of an era for the service that came online for Wii consoles on December 2006. The shutdown will happen gradually. Users can still add Wii points until March 26th of 2018.
Why would you?
Who the fuck? Additionally, at some point, Nintendo hasn't put an exact date on it yet. You also won't be able to re-download previously purchased Wii and Virtual Console games or the Wii System Transfer Tool to move files to the Wii U. Nintendo recommends that if you have games you want to download or content you want to move to a Wii U, do it while you still can.
All right.
Does the Wii U have its own shop, or is this just...
Maybe,
or
does maybe each that's console, the deal.
Yeah, like, I think they have their own.
Okay, so if Wii U people are still active, then maybe this isn't such a big deal, because I don't...
Still living in 2008?
Yeah, so, get on it, Wii people, if you're listening to this.
Wii! Hate that name.
Yeah, I don't think I haven't really been a fan of a Nintendo console name since, like... N64.
Do you have a Nintendo Wii?
I had one. I sold it. But, like, that's the weird thing is, like, I like, I wasn't finding anything that was, like, hooking me into playing it. Like, I always get the whatever the Smash Brother game is.
For the Mario console. And the Zeldas.
Yeah, but then I'll play that to death and then kind of get bored. And then I get irritated about the fact
that... The games
that,
suck.
Yeah, and I get irritated about the fact
the
that...
The games, I'll just say that right now. The games suck.
Yeah, and they're not putting out any wrestling games for it. So then I get aggravated, so I sold it. So,
the game that I played the most was the goddamn Wii Sports, the bowling and the fucking tennis and the golf.
Somebody brought that to work one day and for like a party, and it was fun. I was like, hey, why don't I play this? I was like, oh yeah, I sold this system. I don't think I ever had Wii Sports anyway. I can't remember.
Did they come with the thing?
I think, I don't know if my bundle that I got came with the game or it came with something different, but I don't think I had Wii Sports. But yeah, so if I had that, then maybe I would have kept it a little longer, because it's like, you know, every like 6 months or so that would have been a fun thing to pull out and play. But as of what I had, I didn't have anything that was hooking me into keeping the console.
Wii Sports and Mario Kart.
I've never really been a Mario Kart fan. I just don't like racing games, and Mario hook never made me interested enough to keep going with it. It's fun when you have a bunch of people around, but like generally,
it's not a solo game.
Yeah, I never owned it on my own. I played it when I went to a summer camp where they had video games, and I played it a lot there because they were
very fun with multiple players.
Yeah, it's their lazy ass summer camp. They didn't want to take us outside. So you just play video games.
Video games. You go to a summer camp and video games. Yeah.
It was a really crappy summer camp, and it's it was a store in a storefront, and it was like a bootleg karate school / summer camp. Yeah, so it was really lazy and. I shouldn't have been there. I spent far too much time.
Did you have to wear a gi?
No, I think we just did our little training or whatever, and we just did it in our regular clothes, and we were supposed to be like on a regular schedule. And since I'm not saying names, I'll go into a little more detail because it was an interesting story behind this camp, and I won't even say where it was because you could probably.
Who cares? It was decades ago.
Yeah, but it was they were supposed to be on a regular schedule because it's like the husband and wife.
They don't even exist.
Yeah, the husband and wife. They own the camp. The husband was supposed to be the karate or the taekwondo guy, and the wife was in charge of the summer camp. So she was the one that we saw the most, and then like our schedule like the. Martial arts training, yeah, it started to fall off, and then we just stopped seeing the husband altogether.
I have a way we can make a second income.
Yeah, we stopped seeing David, who was the karate guy, and we stopped seeing him, and we just like it ended up just being a summer camp. There was no like karate or whatever, and find out later. Yeah, find out later that it was. I think the camp ended up shutting down, and found out that the husband was a drug addict, so was like that's why he just disappeared.
They were selling drugs. I
think he just got strung out, and we just like his martial arts training practice fell apart with it.
The karate way, like it didn't help him fight his demons.
No,
his black belt.
I don't know if he's Philly. I don't know if he's
snorting. Coke on his
black belt. Yeah, it's like, oh, I feel like I can punch through a wall, but I can't. But I'm gonna keep doing it until my knuckles turn bloody. But yeah,
he could see the dragon.
He was chasing the dragon. I think that's what you call it. He was riding the white horse, chasing the dragon. Sounds like Game of Thrones. Anyway.
I can't believe like you don't like Mario Kart or Mario RPG.
Mario RPG is the worst betrayal I've ever experienced.
What the hell would you expect? Super Mario RPG.
I had no idea what RPG stood for. That's how I learned what RPG stood for. I learned the hard way. I was like, what is RPG? Maybe it's like, I didn't know. I thought it was something like RPM. I was like, oh, it's just going real fast or something.
You were expecting like a side scrolling classic Mario game, but instead you got like a
Final Fantasy walking around talking to people. It's like, what system is this? Like,
had you ever played Final Fantasy before?
No, it never interested me. Aside from like the wallpapers from Final Fantasy that people used on Black Planet back in the day, nothing from Final Fantasy looked remotely interesting to me. So
Squaresoft, the people who make Final Fantasy,
is it Squaresoft or Square Enix? This game.
Or I think it's Squaresoft.
Okay. But yeah,
let me confirm it.
Yeah, because it was. I always hear people talk about Final Fantasy, but nobody ever like really explains what it is to me. Like I've seen gameplay of one of the recent games, and I think it was like a bunch of guys in tuxedos running through the desert trying to get to a wedding. It's one of the recent games I've seen. It's like, wait, what is this game about? Well, yeah, it's a. I've never really been sold on it. Like any games that
require. Is the name of the
company. Square is just Square. Okay. But yeah, I've never really been sold on it. Like, what is the... How would you describe Final Fantasy?
It's like you get through the game by, like, one of the spells and then different other skills and stuff. It's a points-based system. Like, the more, like, experience points you get, the more things you can, like, buy and the more okay. like, spells and powers you can obtain and just so kind of, like, get through the game and...
So do you fight anybody at any point?
That whole system that was in Super Mario RPG where you take turns and you pick which attack you want to use. That's pretty much what it is.
So it's like you have to use an attack that's powerful enough to beat somebody when it's your turn, but you can't button mash your way to a win.
I haven't played any of the modern Final Fantasy.
Okay.
I that's how it was in like the old like NES and SNES versions.
Okay.
I'm a Nintendo man or a Zelda man.
Yeah, I've never been interested in like turn-based games. Period. Because there was like in terms of mobile games, because like that's what I play the most. But in terms of mobile games, like I like Marvel Contest of Champions, but just a really like lazy tap punch game, and you can when you charge up your powers and you can use your powers. But there's another game that's called Marvel. I'm trying to think what the hell is the name of that one, but there's another Marvel game, Future Fight, and the graphics for that one are actually better, and you can actually, it's like open world kind of. But the thing I don't like about that is, like, when it's time to fight, it's turn-based. And that's what just that aspect alone made me uninstall it. It's like, I don't want to take turns making attacks. It seems stupid. Like, I wanted anything that's closer to the real situation. Like, if you watch the Avengers, they're not gonna all fire on Ultron and then be like, okay, your turn.
Well, it's a mobile game. Limitations and stuff.
But I mean, Contest of Champions doesn't have that limitation. You can, like, if somebody hits you first, then they could beat you, but you just gotta be quicker on the draw. I mean, I understand it, like, if you're looking at it through the perspective, like, okay, this is what you would do if you're playing like a dice game or board game version of this, but like, that doesn't interest me. It's too Dungeons and Dragons-y for me. Like, oh, I use this attack. It's worth 30 hit points. You only have 27 health points, so I win. It's like, yeah. I don't like math that much. But maybe that's my problem.
You thought you had it bad getting Super Mario RPG for Christmas. I asked for and I got this game called Mario is Missing for the SNES.
Sounds
familiar. I think that was like 93, 92.
Okay.
It's like an educational game.
It's like Carmen Sandiego.
It's like Luigi has to like go around the world answering these fucking history questions.
That's exactly like Carmen Sandiego, I think.
To get pieces of different monuments, defeat bosses to save Mario.
Yeah, that doesn't sound.
It's as fun as it sounds.
That's the one problem. That's the problem back in the day where we wouldn't see like commercials for every game that we got.
Exactly. It's just like, error, man.
Yeah, it's just like you go and look at the cover. It's like, hey, Mario's on here. I'm gonna buy this. That's how I was sold on Super Mario RPG. I didn't watch like 40 YouTube videos telling me exactly what this game was gonna be before I bought it. I just like looked at the cover. I was like, okay, Mario. I was totally caught off guard.
Sometimes I feel bad that I made my mom spend like $60 on expensive fucking game.
I think
those Super Nintendo cartridges were expensive, man.
Oh yeah, and it was funny because my brother, I think at the time, I don't know if it was at the same time, but I know my brother when he was originally playing like the first PlayStation, Dreamcast, Xbox around that time, he was like in and out of GameStop or. What was it called? EB Games or Funko Land. He was at Funko Land like every month, like selling his old games, getting new games. And I was always like, what? Like, why would you sell them? Like, don't you want to have a collection? Don't you want to have a huge bookcase full of games? But like Super Mario RPG was the first game I was like, I'm going to sell this. It's like, I don't want this game anymore. Cause I don't think I could return it. But I was like, I'm going to Funko Land. And I can't remember what I got for it, but I'm sure it was like a fraction of the price. It was always their tactic. But yeah, it's game talk on the frustrated.
What was the last video game you've purchased?
I guess it would just be WWE 2K17. I got that at GameStop used. So I've been playing that ever since. So I'm probably going to get 2K18 when it comes out or sometime after it comes out when I can buy it used. But that's what I spend most of my time playing these days. I have seen your gameplay videos of Cuphead, and that looks fun. It's like it looks like it's right in my wheelhouse
I hadn't even like. Existence of until maybe like a month ago, I was like, hey, this game looks innovative. Like, I've never seen anything like it before. Like, I'm going to buy that.
Yeah.
I haven't regretted the purchase.
So is it, because I saw, because they call it like a run and gun game, but you're not just constantly running, right? You control.
No.
Okay.
It's not like Super Mario Run. It's not a runner.
Okay.
It's pretty much a side scroll. Side-scroller.
Yeah, because when I saw that, I was like, oh my god, like, where has this game been all my life? Like, because I love how the graphics are kind of like Felix the Cat animation. The Cat, kind of Woody Woodpecker.
1930s
yeah.
Cartoon.
So I love that aesthetic. Yeah. And, the side-scroller. Like I said, when I describe, like, how limited my gameplay view is, like, that's exactly what I've been looking for years. Like, I always look for Mario clones.
And it's
clones.
Only 1999.
Yeah. Because I always look for, like, Mario clones. And then, like, depending on the aesthetic is what would turn me off. Like, Earthworm Jim. Decent game, but it's very ugly. I just didn't want to play it that much. I'm trying to think. Rayman was, like, the most prominent one of those, like, side-scroller, like, next-generation games. But it's just, like, it's ugly. But this
so
one looks
fucking like Mario, like Mario clone games where video game companies tried to like make their own like mascot for the company. I'm trying to think. There was this one character.
This was one mobile game is Leps World, so it's just a leprechaun running around, which is like.
But what was like the one? It was like a cat character.
It sounds familiar. It was a console game.
Yes. Was it like on the Sega or like one of the later consoles, like the mid to late 90s? I forgot the name of it.
I can't remember it already, cat, but I know there's
it was like their attempt at like a
I know Crash Bandicoot was kind of like that, but he was it was a side
scroller. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I guess some of it was side scrolling. I actually like Crash Bandicoot. I know this one was slightly different, but it was kind of they were kind of going for the same thing with Spyro the Dragon, although you could fly, so that made it better. But yeah, there's been a lot of those like attempts at being like we're gonna be the next one. Like Sonic was the best probably of those original ones because it was like
the most successful.
But yeah, I feel like the Cuphead looks like it's right in my wheelhouse. I'm gonna disconnect with you really quick and call back because it seems like it's chopping up a little bit.
Yes, it is. So, trying to power it through. But...
All right, I'll be right back. So I'm gonna reconnect with Tony and see if this sounds better because we are going to continue our conversation about Cuphead because it's a good game. Although we're probably not gonna continue, we're gonna move on to something else. Don't mind the ringing in your ears. It's just
can you hear me?
Yes, you're back. The listeners were entertained by some funky Skype beats, but now we're back to the topic at hand. What's next on the docket?
Family Matters reunion. It was a photo shoot reunion put together by Entertainment Weekly.
Speaking of things only 90s kids will remember.
Exactly. I'm just now like hearing about this. I didn't know that this had happened, but apparently Jamie Foxworth, who we mentioned last week, was not invited.
Which he has.
I wonder why.
She doesn't exist anymore. She went up to her room and she just disappeared. So it's interesting the timing of this. Like they've just
and they never mentioned her again.
Yeah, it's funny. They just announced like demolition plans for the house, and then they do this photo shoot. But it looks like I saw one photo from it. It looked like they just had some weird set that looked kind of like the house. But why didn't they take photos at the house? Like it was probably their last chance. Or did they go there at all? I'm assuming they.
But
it was probably more convenient to do this in LA or wherever they ended up shooting these photos.
Well, they have all of the family members. Had a member of the Winslow family. He's Eddie's friend, but there's no Judy Winslow. What happened to Judy?
Yeah, she's just, you know, she just she fell into a wormhole when she walked up those stairs, never to be seen again. I think it's sad, but you know, these things happen. She's tainted the name of the Winslow family, so now she's the black sheep.
Even more so than. After, let me read this, after seeing the EW cover with the original cast of Family Matters, social media had one question. Where's Judy? So her, Judy and found her. Now a mother of a son, and just putting the final touches on her book about growing up as a child star, Foxworth wasn't at all shocked to see the cover. Although she received her walking papers from the show, she's still close with the actors on the show, including Sean Harrison, who played hilariously Foldo. I was not invited at all. I wasn't even contacted. Foxworth said in the root. Sean Waldo sent me a text 2 days before it was released. He asked if anyone contacted me, and he just wanted to let me know that EW contacted them to do a reunion cover. And he just didn't want me to be
I mean, that was nice of him, but, you know, still was what it was.
The people The people in the picture are more important than the picture itself. It's not going to fetch attention weekly. I don't think there's any good explanation. If they want to use adult films, that's the reason. I'm not the first person to do adult films and won't be the last. Fox would say.
So did, I mean, you're the first person on that cast to do it. unless there's some Urkel tape that we don't know about. Yeah, I mean, that would have sold more than hers, I'm sure. But, you know.
So why did Judy's character get cut from the show to begin with?
Yeah.
Well, it could have a lot to do with White's character.
See, you're cutting out again on me. Let's try this one more time. See if you're going to adjust your settings or anything while I try to reconnect or maybe change your position, but I'll be right back to you. So we are having some straight up technical difficulties on the First Ready to Grab podcast. Bear with us, but I'll say as I try to reconnect right here that I don't think it's a good look for them to be cutting out Jamie like that. It's just, it's not okay. It's not good. And, you know, I wish her the best in her future endeavors. But yeah, I'm waiting to reconnect with Tony and I will resume his audio. Now the thing is ringing and I thought you might not want to hear that loud in your headphones as I'm reconnecting. So let's see how this goes. Tony is ringing.
Yo!
And you're back. Hopefully this is a better connection. I actually had to turn the volume down so people didn't hear the ringing. I don't want Skype to come after me for royalties for us banging that sweet tune.
That sweet, sweet music.
Yeah. But yeah, poor Jamie. Hopefully she's doing all right with her porn and book money.
The millions and millions she got from porn, all of the anal sex.
Yeah, you know that pays more, I think.
Blowjobs and facials.
Yeah, I know what happens. I understand. I've heard.
You've heard.
Yeah.
You haven't seen.
Heard on the street. Heard around the water cooler.
On your laptop.
No. No, that's not something I partake in. Anyway, speaking of gross things that belong to others that you might not want to touch, what might you be touching if you grab someone else's coffee cup?
Their poop, maybe. It actually makes sense, because if you're like in an office and you've got your coffee mugs and like people are like going to the bathroom and like some of them are washing their hands, some of them aren't washing their hands, and you know all of those germs and stuff that travel. So it would make sense that 20% of coffee cups in the office kitchens will be coated in germs such as fecal matter.
The one thing I think is gross is in the past I've worked in an environment where they didn't have like a kitchen available to everyone, and people would like fill up the coffee pot with water from the bathroom sink. This is the most disgusting thing I could ever imagine.
Oh, God.
So I don't, yeah.
Why the bathroom? Why not the kitchen?
No, I'm saying like in a place where I've worked where they didn't have a kitchen.
Oh.
Or, you know, some companies are big enough where like there's a kitchen on one floor. You have to like get on an elevator to go there or whatever. Or it's just like certain departments, if you work in a large company, don't have their own dedicated kitchen. People do stuff like that. Or they'll pour out their coffee cup in the bathroom sink. I always think anything related to that is just gross. So, like, in those situations, I could definitely see how there's poop particles in your coffee cup.
I mean, just, and then they talk about, like, just on, like, the germs on your hands that get transferred to, like, phones and, like, you know, just on, like, the doorknobs and all the other areas. And it's not just, It's not just offices that they say. They say, like, fast food chains, public pools, gym weights, dollar bills.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have to think of that's the really gross thing to think about is, like, fast food place, you're more likely to see that than anywhere else because there's a smaller distance between the bathroom and the kitchen. Because, like, okay, sure, if you work at a regular workplace, that's not focused around cooking. You're going to have a small little kitchen that's just made for heating up stuff. But, like, people come out of their bathroom at a fast food place, they're pretty much walking directly into the kitchen. So they're taking whatever they're bringing out of the bathroom with them. Even though it says all employees must wash hands.
That's the key.
And sometimes it'll say dot, 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 especially you, Carl. But it's it's just not a... there's not a lot of safeguards against that. It's like you need to have like a cleanliness monitor, like standing at the door, like, did you wash your hands? Like parents did you, would do to their kids.
Did you ever wash your hands all the time when you were working at the Colonel?
Absolutely. Especially like if I was going to like dip my hands into that flour, because the secret to how they make it extra crispy is that no, that's not where I was going. The secret is that they flour it, they dip it in water, and then they flour it again. So this is a very messy process, and you get a lot of stuff on your hands. So it makes you very aware of, like, hey, if my hands weren't clean, this would be totally gross right now. Like, because then I would taint the entire batch of flour. So I was very conscious of washing my hands. And I actually washed them. I would wash them in the, like, if I was coming out of the bathroom, I would wash them there. I don't think during my six-hour shift that I did washing dishes / cooking chicken. I usually didn't even use the bathroom, but if I did, I would wash my hands in the bathroom, and then I would wash them again in the scalding hot water for the dishwashing area, because I always had a higher tolerance for like super hot water. So it's just like I would wash them there before I cooked chicken specifically. But I know a lot of people aren't as diligent about that type of stuff. So, like, if I think about that, it'll turn me off from eating at a lot of places, because I could just look at certain people like, I bet you didn't wash your hands like you should.
Judgy.
Oh, it's judgy, but I have specifically seen, like, at a sit-down restaurant, I've been in the restroom like, okay, I'm going to go wash my hands before I eat, because I just do that. Like, if I've been out all day and I go straight to a restaurant, like, I'm going to wash my hands after I order. And I've seen someone with the uniform of whatever the restaurant was, and they just walk straight past me out the door. I'm like, wait a minute. Okay. I'm like, that kind of put me off, and I lost my appetite a little bit after. It's like, no, didn't even look at the sink. He just walked straight out. I was like, all right.
Fecal matter could survive for days or weeks on surfaces. So washing your hands is imperative before you eat or drink anything and before you touch your face.
One thing I want to learn about is, how does fecal matter survive a deep fryer?
Fried poop?
Yeah, I want to know if that's a good enough way to kill the bacteria.
By dipping it in the...
yeah. A fried... yeah, fried poop sandwich. Poop boy. Poop-o boy. Anyway.
Anywho, staying on the, not necessarily the poop theme, but the lowbrow theme, would you be interested in a cream-filled penis waffle?
That sounds like fighting words to me. No, I would not be interested in that.
A cream-filled penis waffle.
No, thank you.
It's just a waffle, Zach.
Anything that starts with the phrase cream-filled penis, whatever you say after that, I'm not going to eat it. Like, it's a point-blank period. Finish and klar, as they say in South Africa. I'm not going to do that.
A restaurant is making a lot of dough with a dish that is both tasty and tasteless, a penis-shaped waffle. The phallic food products are sold at a food stall in Bangkok, appropriately named
Stall
Pho Ha Ma, which means I got it from my dad in English.
from my dad. That doesn't make it any better. Okay.
No, it's not. Each cockeyed creation. I see what the writer of this article is doing.
Yeah.
Each that's, cockeyed creation.
That's the only point of why this article is written. Was like I can come up with like 15 puns for this. Let's write an article.
Each cockeyed creation is stuffed with sausage and cheese and comes with a variety of sauces, such as ketchup, mayonnaise, or chocolate, according to Next Shark.
Chocolate.
The dick-shaped desserts sell for around the equivalent of around $1.20. As cheap, or about 20 cents per inch. A video of the penis spaceship went viral. This is from the Huffington Post, by the way.
Of course.
A video of the penis pastries went viral on Facebook last week, garnering around more than 19 million views. Since then, it seems the world has been a path or something else to the eatery. As might be predicted, emphasis on dick, the waffles are arousing controversy. One well-known Thai chef is urging a boycott of the sex organ snack on moral grounds. Why would you buy this for your? Why
I'm
would
looking
you
at the pictures.
Why would you put this in a monk's alms bowl if a girl aged 7 or 8 was eating it on the street? Is that something you want to see? Sure, it would make me laugh. He told Thai news website Khaosod English. However, the woman who runs the restaurant doesn't know what's eating these people. Some people told me that I'm doing something obscene and un-Buddhist. She told the website, "I just want people to view it as a snack."
No, thank you. That's all I'll say about it. Just looking at some of the screenshot, the pictures of people eating it, and just like, it's just disturbing. And the veins are not. Like, I don't appreciate that.
It's very lifelike.
It's very, very gross. Yeah. Is there something else we could end on that's not that? What else? I mean,
the ball is in your court.
I mean,
the choice is yours.
The people who might partake in this cream filled confection maybe on the high side of the spectrum. Speaking of stoners, here's a good food destination for stoners. This is you found from Leafly, which is a pot enthusiast website. What does that say about you, Mr. Hoffman?
I don't actually smoke weed. I drink alcohol on occasion, but never been a huge stoner smoker at all.
I do not partake in any of the recreational drugs.
Do you feel like you're missing out?
Not really. And based on the people I know who do, like, you know, I'd rather be more productive and have my faculties.
You're a square. You're an undercover police officer.
Right? Yeah, I'm a narc. Yeah, I'm taking notes. Okay, so
you want to know the most popular fast food destinations for hungry stoners?
Yeah, according to Cannabis Freakonomics.
Cannabis Freakonomics. Green Market Report partnered with consumer research around cannabis to analyze multiple fast food marketplaces in areas with both a sizable population and legal cannabis. The result: while Taco Bell's late night munchies practically feel like a stoner stereotype, they are no match for the iconic Golden Arches.
Well, of course,
over 40%
they're more ubiquitous,
adults, and it's cheaper.
Yeah,
over 43% of adults polled who recently purchased legal cannabis visited a McDonald's within 4 weeks of their dispensary purchase. Taco Bell and its ridiculously huge menu came in second, with just over 18% of cannabis consumers making a run for the border.
Tangent, real quick. Taco Bell's menu really irritates me, especially as somebody who doesn't eat beef. Like, I feel like I'm being discriminated against when I look at their menu. Like, because all
they have chicken and like non, they have like beans and rice.
The problem is when you order, like, you can't order a special meal or anything, because like all of their meals are, they either have like whatever the main taco is, like quesarito box, It'll be the quesarito and two hard shell tacos, and they don't let you substitute the meat in the hard shell taco. So it's like, well, I can't order that meal.
You can order like just a quesarito by itself.
Yeah, but it's like I have to piece stuff together if I want to do
it. Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, so it's like I'm in a drive-thru. I don't want to do all this thinking, especially if I'm ordering for two or more people. So I'm just like, forget it. I'll just do six cheesy chicken quesadillas. And that's all I eat from Taco Bell because it's easy to remember. It's like, well, I'm not going to piece together, like, okay, I want this, and then I want this, replace this with chicken. And then, do you have this in chicken? No? Okay, I get this. I just order whatever I can say quicker.
I've struck a nerve.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very triggered by Taco Bell. Like, I have to go inside if I actually want to have something decent.
Have you noticed that, like, some of the stuff they have, it's like the same thing, it just has a different name?
Yeah.
Like,
Like, I just thought about another thing. I used to love the Mexican pizza at Taco Bell, but, like, it's only beef. So, like, I can never eat it again. Like, if they had a chicken Mexican pizza, I would bathe in them. But, you know, they don't, so.
I rarely sit down and actually eat in a Taco Bell, so the stuff that I get is usually stuff that I can, like, eat on the run, like, portable.
Yeah.
That's why I always avoid like their like messy nachos and like quesadillas and anything that messy.
I tried to eat a quesadilla in the car. It was not a
disgust, not pretty. I know. Right?
But anyway, back to the list.
McDonald's has nearly 15,000 locations in the U.S. compared to Taco Bell's 7,000. So. Consumers may find it more likely to and convenient to find a nearby McDonald's. Subway, however, has almost 27,000 locations, yet Pickett Stoners prefer Burger King, which has 7,500 locations, or Wendy's, 57 locations, over a foot-long sub.
Of course, so, because, like, also, like, if they're going out in the middle of the night, Subway's not going to be open. And, like, I think I've only seen like two actual drive-through Subways in my life. So like anywhere that doesn't have a drive-through, you're not going to get as many stoners frequenting the place.
There you go.
Because it's about convenience. I am interested in going to a drive-through Subway. I just want to know how it works. I'm just curious. Like,
how the fuck, like...
like, okay, I want this, this.
Your lettuce, I want tomato, I want this, I want that.
Yeah, like, do you get the pleasure
ever?
Of watching it like you do inside? Like, do they have just a huge drive-thru window? You just drive along the side. I'm really interested just in the mechanics of it, the logistics of how all that works. But, you know, Subway isn't my top place to get a sandwich anyway.
Yeah,
I prefer Subway in South Holland.
Yeah. That's a place that I go to if like there's nothing else better.
Yeah,
and I'm stuck.
Especially now that they've really, really de-emphasized the $5 footlong. Is like, why would I even go in here now if they're like $6.50? It's like you've lost me. Anyway, so those are. Pretty much the top five. So Subway is number five out of that list. So they're lucky they made it, period. McDonald's is like winning by a mile, though. But yeah, so that
quantity over quality.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the McDonald's motto. Because anytime they have something that's really good on their menu, there's like, you know what? It's not fast enough. Let's get rid of this. Let's just strip all the ingredients off of this that people love and start over. But yeah, with me now craving fast food, we should probably wrap it up. So where can people?
You're gonna go for that cream filled penis waffles.
No, I would not travel. Nor be seen in public eating anything of the sort.
Although, it just looks like a penis.
Although, if you wanted to talk about like travel-friendly foods, like just holding like a penis pastry is probably like easy to eat while driving, but
yeah,
still that's not gonna sell me on it. I'll just eat a corn
vulgar yet practical.
Yeah, I'll eat a corn dog if I want a practical phallic snack. Practical phallic snack. That's a good episode title, by the way. Anyway, let's just wrap up the episode and let people know where they can reach out to you with their photos of them enjoying a Belgian penis waffle.
Women only. Find me on Twitter at Anthony Hoffman. Facebook, Anthony Hoffman. Just search Anthony Hoffman. And my Instagram is at Tony Hoffman Shot. Hi, Tony Hoffman, CHI.
And I am on the Twitter at Zach Reviews. That's ZAC Reviews. I'm on YouTube at youtube.com/ZachHughes. I'm on Instagram if you want to see the few posts that I have up there. It's ZH Radio. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at FrustratedGrad. You can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/FrustratedGrads. And you can check out the audio version of the podcast on Twitter, iTunes, Google Play Podcasts, and Stitcher. If you like what we're doing, go to Apple Podcasts or iTunes, as I call it. Give us a 5-star rating. If you really like what we're doing, go to FrustratedGrad.com and hit that donate button to donate via PayPal. Anyway, that's it for anybody watching the video. Thanks for watching, and that's all you get for today. But for you, audio listeners, it's bonus time. All right, so what do we want to call this one?
It's bonus time.
Bonus time. All right.
Right.
So.
No need to apologize. Obviously, we're going to call it cream filled penis warm.
No. Okay. I got it from my dad as a good title. Is that the exact title? Is it I got it from my dad or I got it from dad? I'm opening the story back up. You're breaking up again, but it's the bonus round, so it's not that important. But what were you saying?
The poop cup.
Poop cup, no. I got it from my dad. Okay, so that's the title of the place. Did you disconnect? I think he did. Alright, I got it from my dad. So that sounds like a top contender. You're getting some exclusiveness right now. You're hearing Tony disconnect live on the air. So, you're back. Alright.
I got it from my dad. Fine.
Yeah. I feel like that's a good, weird title that might be curious to some people.
It can mean anything.
Yeah. It could mean very bad things, or it could just be
stranger
something
things.
Braggadocious. Yeah. Like, stranger things have happened when dads give children things. Anyway, stop right there. So, yeah. So if you want to tweet at us with the hashtag, I got it from my dad, and tell us what you got from your dad, then tweet that at Frustrated Grad Podcast. With that,
cream-filled penis waffles.
Yeah, like, I got it from my dad, comma, a cream-filled penis, dot, 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 and then you run out of characters on Twitter because they haven't updated your character limit yet. Anyway, let's wrap up and say goodbye. So, bye.